All right. Since I'm not reading my passage in the first, I'll not have you stand for the reading of Scripture. Everything in this book is some way linked to the message of Jesus Christ. It's all a part of the great plan of God to bring Jesus into this world. So today, we're going to go back to a part of this book that is found in the book of Nehemiah. If you would like to turn there, we'll begin in just a moment in chapter number 2. But let me just kind of bring us up real quickly on the story that I want to talk to you about, because I want to encourage somebody this morning. I want to encourage somebody to stay put. I want to encourage somebody to stay where God puts you. I want to encourage you to don't preempt the work of God because of impatience or whatever. So I want to have a message for you this morning. Nehemiah is one of those outstanding personalities in the Old Testament. He is in Persia. He is the king's cupbearer. God placed him there because Nehemiah is going to have some very significant influence. Now, 70-some years before, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The heritage of the people of Israel, many of them, the city was torn down, the temple was torn down, the city was burned, walls were destroyed and burned with fire. Now the time has come when God is about to pick up the plan. This was an interrupted plan just for a period because of the rebellion of Israel. But I don't know if you know that God's work goes on because of that amazing grace they just sung about just a while ago. Nehemiah hears a report of those some of the people who come to Persia, and they give the report that the city is in disarray, and the walls are torn down, and the wall stones have been scattered around. And Nehemiah, when he hears this, he begins to weep, and he begins to feel within himself a great concern and a passion and what we would call a burden for his home country. Nehemiah is greatly blessed by God to receive permission from the king of Persia, and he returns with some of the captives, and he begins the project of restoring the wall that was around the city of Jerusalem. This was no insignificant moment. This was a very significant event because God's kingdom was marching on. He was to take the families that were with him. He would divide them around the wall. Each family would begin to build on their part of the wall. But there were enemies who would resist this effort. We'll meet some of them in just a moment as we talk about overcoming the obstacles and to stay in the will of God. This morning I want to speak to you on three things dealing with the theme, keep building the wall. The wall today is God's will for you. It's where God has placed you. It's where God is using you. It's where God has called you. Keep building the wall. So there are three things quickly. Number one, Nehemiah was called. He was commissioned. He had a calling upon his life to do this great work. Look in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Let's all stand and at least read these first verses together. Let's read it together, shall we, everybody? Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me, and they replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. That word good is important. This was a godly work. It was a holy work. It was a righteous work. It was a God-called, God-ordained, God-timed, God-empowered work. He said, "We began to do this good work." Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever sung the chorus, "Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I must do"? You ever sung that? Probably all of us have sung it. And we've sung it more than one time. Nehemiah hears the report of the walls of Jerusalem and the destruction that had taken place. And the report is that there is a need here. There is sadness. There is destruction. And Nehemiah, when he heard this, did not choose to say, well, that's somebody else's problem. That's somebody else's, that let the people back there take care of it. But Nehemiah responded as though he were the only one who could do anything about it. And he realized that God's hand was upon him. I think Nehemiah understood that he had been divinely placed as the cupbearer to the king, with access to the greatest king in the world at the time, and the king who had the power to help restore the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah had what we would call in our Pentecostal heritage a burden. You know, in the ministry, growing up with my, of course, dad was not a preacher, but we had a lot of preachers in our family. And I can remember them talking about the burden of the ministry. I can remember my grandfather talking about the burden of the church that he pastored. And I realize what that is. For me as a pastor, there's a sense of a burden. Now, it's not a sad thing. It's not a bad thing. But it's a sense of responsibility. It is a sense that there is something important. There is something that is valuable and worthy of time and worthy of effort. I've felt that in my heart ever since you gave me the privilege of serving as your pastor. And when you have a ministry and God calls you to a ministry, there's a sense of a burden. You can hear it in Steve Tovar's voice this morning. There is a burden that rests upon him for the street ministry. And if you were to talk to somebody in the youth ministry, Sean has a burden that rests upon him for our youth ministry. And Johnny felt that for many years. And Darren has a burden that rests upon him to minister to our master's commission. And John Stanley today up in the children's churches, he has a burden to minister to those children. It is a God-given sense of responsibility. And this is what I believe comes upon every church member. It is important that we as a congregation take on the burden of the church. Now, there's a lot of people that move around a lot. You can't lock them down. They're here and they're there and they're in this church and then they're in that church and they never get really locked in. But I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is built upon those people who are committed, live, die, sink, or swim. They're committed to the vision of the church and they're not looking for a way out. They are committed to the local church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I came from the school that said, you find a home church and you keep the home church and you stay in the home church and you work with the home church. And when the home church goes through problems, you don't bail out to go some other pleasant place. You stay there and work through the problems. And when the church is being blessed, you get blessed. When the church is in revival, you get revived. When the church is going through problems, you stay and shoulder the problems. You don't escape out of somewhere else. We need a generation of people that will stay in touch, that will stay involved in the work of the Lord, that will say, this is my church, this is my work, this is my vision. It's not his vision, it's not the board's vision, it's not the staff's vision, this is my vision, this is my work, this is what God has called us to do. It's no them about it. If you hear anybody talking about, well, they and them, you know they're not connected. But if you say us, it's we. We are called to a vision. We are called to a purpose. And we work through those things and we shoulder the burden of the Lord. There may be times when a church change is called for, but I want to tell you, God's not going to move you around every 3 or 4 years. God's going to plant you somewhere. And he's going to tell you to stay there and do the work of the Lord. Don't look for some other place to go. Lock in. And if you're here, you're in one of the best things that I know. There's great churches everywhere, but I'm proud of Crossroads of Life. It's time to get connected and shoulder the burden of the Lord. Nehemiah took the shoulders upon himself. He felt a compelling burden to do the work of the Lord. And he committed himself and began the work of the kingdom at the wall. So first of all, he was committed. And that's what Jesus is looking for today. He's looking for people who are committed, who are responsible, who are accountable, and who do not look for a reason to leave or a reason to escape. But they're settled, they're committed, and they're faithful. And that describes many, many, many of you here today, maybe all of you this morning. But the second thing that I want to talk to you about is that Nehemiah was challenged to leave the wall. Nehemiah was challenged to leave that place that God had called him to. I'm talking to somebody this morning that I know in my spirit. That I'm talking to somebody that God's called you to do something. God may have called you to a ministry in this church, or God's called you to a ministry. Perhaps you're here as a student at Southwestern, and God's got a call in your life, or you're here sitting in this master's commission group this morning, and God's been doing a work. He called you here. You're sitting over here in this youth group this morning, and you've already begun to feel the stirrings of the Holy Ghost in your heart, and you feel a call to ministry. Maybe you know that you're not going to be a minister as a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary, but you already know that God's called you to be an entrepreneur. God's called you to be a Holy Spirit, a Spirit-filled entrepreneur who is going to build a godly business, and out of that godly business, you are going to bless the kingdom of God. You already know that you're not going to necessarily be a full-time minister, but you're going to minister full-time in whatever you're called to do. And I'm here to speak to somebody today, but there are going to be times whenever. Now, I want you to kind of get this wall in your mind. Here all these people are gathered around the walls of Jerusalem that have been broken down, and there are stones burned with fire, and they're scattered everywhere. This is not an easy work. It's a hard work. And if it was easy, everybody would want to do it. But it's sometimes in the hard places that you really test the fiber of a church and the fiber of people, their commitment. And you see them begin to build the wall and build the wall. Now, this is more than just building a wall. It is something related to the spiritual truth of the kingdom of God. Because in this wall that they're building to reestablish the city of Jerusalem, someday the Messiah is going to come. It's in the walls of this city that someday the Messiah is going to teach. It's in the walls of this city that someday he's going to have a trial and be arrested. And just outside these walls, he's going to be crucified. It's going to be inside these walls. Someday the Holy Spirit is going to breathe upon 120 believers in an upper room. It's going to be in these walls that the great harvest of the church is going to begin. The church is going to be born, and the harvest is going to begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is directly related to the larger mission of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So it's no wonder that Satan wants to shut it down. It's no wonder that the devil wants to get these people off the wall. He wants to get them called away, distracted. Let me just quickly show you this. There are several strategies that the enemy used. Notice it, chapter 2, verse 10. Now we're going to meet some of the enemies that were of the wall. These were all just emissaries of the devil. Our warfare is not with people, but it's with the devil, isn't it? Nehemiah 2:10. When Sanballat and Tobiah, officials, heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Let me tell you something. You want to stir up the devil, you start promoting the welfare of the kingdom of God. You decide to start doing a work for God, and you're immediately going to incur the opposition of that other dark force, that other dark power that's at work in this world. I'm talking about the devil. He doesn't want the kingdom of God to go forward. He doesn't want you to live for God. He doesn't want you to serve God. He doesn't want you to accomplish whatever God has put in your heart to accomplish. He wants to do anything he can to discourage you. So as the people are hard at work, and they're around the wall, and they're taking these burnt stones, and they're putting them in the wall, there comes this opposition. Notice some things that they did to try to discourage them. Number one, they mocked and ridiculed them. Then look in chapter 2, verse 19. When Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you're doing?" they said. "What do you think you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Look at this. Look at that. They said, "Listen, you're traitors? Are you a bunch of traitors over there?" And they mocked him and ridiculed him. Here these people are pouring their heart into the work of the Lord. And there's these people sitting over here, these Geshem, some of these Samaritans and Ammonites and the rest of them. And they say, "What do you think you are? What are you, a bunch of traitors?" Hey, listen, that's a pretty serious charge, because they can kill traitors and say, "Are you rebelling against the king?" But I want to tell you, listen, church. Nehemiah said, "I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim to historic right of it. You have no part of us. You have nothing to do with us. But our God is going to help us to reestablish this work. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews. Verse 3. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even if a fox climbed on it, it would break the wall of stones down." That is cynicism. That is criticism. That is this old negative critical spirit that is so awful when it comes against you. And it's kind of like you start out trying to do something for God, and then you have this backlash that tries to shut you down. You see, the devil will do anything he can. If he can't use one method, he'll use another until he finds something that'll discourage you. He's accused them of being traitors. He said, "That's just the stupid work you're doing. If a fox ran across the wall would fall down." Don't you know there had to be some people there that wanted to say, "Well, you know what? I think I'm just going to quit. I think I'm just going to go home." Because that was kind of difficult to have somebody to say things like that to you. Well, that's not the only strategy the enemy tried to use. Then he threatened them and intimidated them. In chapter 4, verse 7, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites, the men of Ashdod, this enemy group's growing, isn't it? Heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threats. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 4, verse 11. Also our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near came and told us 10 times over, "Whenever you turn, they're going to attack you." You see, God's helping them. Said, "You better watch out because your enemy is looking for an advantage to come against you." Look in chapter 4, verse 15. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot. How many of you are glad that we have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to help us in this battle? When our enemies heard that we were aware of the plot, that God had frustrated it. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God will help you, church. God's going to help this church to fulfill the vision that God has called us to do. From that day, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Go, I love that picture, don't you? And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who was sounding the trumpet stayed with me. Glory to God. I want to tell you, friend, the greatest problem we have is not in the desperate attack of the devil. That's not our greatest problem. Because when you try to do work for God, the enemy is going to rise up in whatever method he can to try to discourage, to try to naysay, to try to be pessimistic, and to be critical. The problem is not the attack of the enemy. Most of our trouble is we give such a weak response to him. I want to let that soak in for a minute. We just kind of let him, bowl us over. We kind of just let it, did you hear that? Or, that thought raced through your mind that says, you ought to just quit now. I'm talking to somebody this morning that God's called you to do a great work. And you've had something come against you that's trying to discourage you and trying to put the fire of your passion out and trying to get you off the wall. But I want to tell you, if you'll stand up like Nehemiah did and say, listen, if I've got to do this with one knee on the ground in prayer and one knee at work, if I've got to hold a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other, I'm not coming off this wall. I'm going to do everything God called me to do. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. Well, there's a lot more things that the enemy tried to do. But the one I want to take you to today is chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Taking me all this time to get here, but I'm here now. Doors of the gate, Sanballat, Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply: I'm carrying on a great project and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to see you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I sent the same answer. They said, come and meet us in the plain in the village of Oh No. And Nehemiah said, Oh No. Oh No, you're not going to get me on that one. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things the devil will try to do to get you off the wall. God has started something in your life, and the devil wants to try to get you to stop what God's doing and lure you with all kinds of things. But send a message back to the enemy: I'm doing a great work, and I'm not coming down off this wall. God put me here. God called me here. God ordained me here. And I'm not letting this morning that God has put something in our heart to say, listen, God has called this church to do a great work. And I'll tell you, for one, I'm not coming off the wall, because I believe God is going to see us through to the vision that He has called us to as a church. It doesn't take much to get some people to leave the wall. There's some people that just a little opposition, just a little persecution, and they're ready to give it up. There's a lot of people that start doing a work for God, but there are things that come up. Satan will try to use personal weaknesses, and he'll try to use negative friends, and he'll try to use all kinds of discouragement. He'll try to show you how hard the work is. He'll try to face you with how much it cost to get the work done. He'll confront you with other offers. He'll say, look, why don't you go build on this wall over here? This wall's more spiritual. This wall's got more faith. This wall's more exciting to build on over here. But listen, sweetheart, stay on the wall God put you on. Build the wall God called you to. Stay there until the work's finished. And I want to tell you something. God's not about the business of calling people to a work, to calling people to a church, and about halfway through, they get up and they're gone. God calls us to stick it out until the work of God is finished. My God is a God who is the author, and He is the finisher of our faith. And He doesn't start a work that He doesn't intend to finish. The only reason God don't finish some work is because we quit. We give up. We get off the wall. We lay down our tools and we decide that we're going to do something else. But honey, if you'll stay where God put you, He will work with you and you'll finish the job that God has called you to finish. And that's the third and the last point that I want to give you this morning. And that is that Nehemiah completed the wall. He completed the wall. You know, in the first building program that I was involved in, one day, a young married man, he called me up. We were trying to get ready to build, trying to get financing together, and trying to get plans together. And it was not going as fast as all of us would like for it to have gone. It just took some time to get it all done. And he called me up one day, and he said, Pastor, he said, you're going too slow. This is a true story. He said, you need to have faith, and you need to get out there, and you just need to start building. Even if you don't have the money, you just need to get out there and start building, and you just need to trust God, and you just need to believe God, and you just ought to be a man of faith, and you ought to be a man of vision, and you ought to just get us out there, and we ought to just go for God. Well, I appreciate his enthusiasm, but I kept remembering that story that Jesus talked about the man who started building the tower, but he hadn't calculated the cost of the tower, and then he couldn't finish it. So I said, well, I appreciate that, but I also feel like there's some responsible action that we have to take before we get into something like that. So help me, children, halfway through that building program, at the hardest part of it, he called me up, and he said, Pastor, you're just going too fast. He said, you need to slow it down a little bit. I couldn't figure out where I was going too fast. I was going awful slow to me. And you know, that hit my heart. That's why I'm venting a little bit today. Now, he didn't come out one day and volunteer one day's labor during that building program. Oh, I got that off my chest. I feel better now. But you know what? You can't listen to all that. You're going to have to listen to the one that called you. And Nehemiah had to battle Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and all the other enemies that he had. All the methods of the devil to discourage him. All the methods of the devil to try to get him to come. Even the devil finally just came out through these guys and said, hey, why don't you get off the wall and come over here and see us? But you see, Nehemiah knew in whom he had believed. He knew who had called him. And he knew that he was about the greater work. And why should he even waste any time going over to talk to these people who had nothing to do but to harm him? I'm here to tell somebody something this morning. God is calling you to a great work. I don't know if that work is there on your job, that God may be calling you to start a prayer group on your job or a Bible study on your job. Or God may have called us as a church to do a great work for God. God has called you to take on a Royal Ranger class that you haven't done, or maybe you have, and you're just about to get down from the wall because it's going a little bit rough. I don't know where God may have called you. There's somebody here today that needs to hear the word of the Lord this morning. If you'll stay on the wall, if you'll stay at the task, if you'll keep, if it's necessary, your sword in one hand and a hammer in the other, your God will help you. He will see you through, and you will finish the work that he called you to do. Because my God is not a God who starts projects and doesn't finish them. He's a God who ordains, calls, empowers, and finishes his work to the glory of God. And one more verse of scripture, and I'm going to have to wrap this up this morning. Did you know that this was a miracle? This was a miracle. Look in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Now that may not sound like anything to us today, but that was a miracle. It was a miracle. If we could take time today to explain how that was a miracle, for these people to have done that and restore this wall and the hardship they had and the enemies who fought. Look in 16. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! They knew. How did they get this done so fast? How did they finish this work so fast? And they put two and two together and said, you know, their God must have been helping them. Don't one of you Master's Commission kids walk in here and say, God called me here, God commissioned me here, and halfway through this year say, well, I think I'm going to go back home. I think I'm going to do something else. Don't you dare do it. Don't get off the wall. Stay on the wall. God called you to something. The devil's going to do everything he can to lure you away from it. He's going to do everything he can to get you to quit, to lay down your weapons and to lay down your commitment. He's going to try to get you off the wall and get you over doing something else. But honey, if you'll stay on the wall, if you'll stay doing what God called you to do, you're going to be able to look back and say, God did a miracle work in my life. God finished what he started, and I didn't preempt the work. Young people, listen. God begins to work in your life in a youth service. Don't just go down to the altar and have a blessing. Don't just go down and have an emotional release at the altar. But when God puts a rock-solid commitment in your heart, live it, walk it out, because God is starting a great work in your heart. And if you walk with God with all of your heart, you'll look back and say, the Lord has made the way for me. He has led me all the way. And whoever else I'm talking to this morning that may be in a discouraging time and you've just been about to quit, you've been thinking about giving up your class. You've been thinking about resigning your position. Now, there's sometimes reasons why that has to happen. I understand that. But I'm not talking about those things where there's legitimate reasons. I'm talking about because it's just The enemy's just come against you. Listen, God, every one of us needs to find our place at the wall. Every man, every woman, every young person, every married couple, every family needs to find our place on the wall. And we need to say, listen, this is my responsibility. This is my commitment. This is my call. And I'm going to fulfill my part of it. And when everybody fulfills their part of it, the wall is going to be finished. And the glory of God is going to come upon the work of the Lord. The men's ministry at the wall. The women's ministry at the wall. Royal Rangers at the wall. Missionettes at the wall. Sunday school at the wall, our master's commission at the wall, our youth at service at the wall, all the ministries of this church, we're all at the wall. And we're working. And we're not getting down till the work's finished. I'm about a great work, and I cannot come down because it's not finished. And this is the last verse. I didn't mean to lie to you, but there's one more. Chapter 7, verse 1. It's short. After the wall had been rebuilt, and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed. It's time to start worshiping. It's time to rejoice. Now, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of expense, it takes a lot of determination to fulfill God's great work. But I want to tell you something. We will not do one thing as His people that will ultimately impoverish us. But if we do what He calls us to do, we cannot help but be blessed because of obedience to His will. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Unless you have to leave, please do not leave for the next few moments, please. I want everybody to lift up your hands, and I want you to thank God for the success that He's going to give His work right now. I want you to lift up by faith. I want you to thank God for the success that He's going to bring to His work when we do it His way. Hallelujah. 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 We will not come down. The work isn't finished. And we're not leaving our place of responsibility until the work is finished. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, friend, there's somebody here today. I'm going to ask people about coming to Christ in a moment. But there's somebody here this morning that I've been reading your mail. Not me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. The Holy Spirit. And it's been a real battle for you to stay at your post of duty. But God's sending you a word today that if you'll stay, He'll help. If you'll stay where He puts you, He'll help you. You're not going to see destruction. You're not going to see failure. You're going to see His blessing and His favor. And I don't know if you're in the balcony this morning. God's got His hand on you. Maybe God laid His hand upon you some time ago in a youth service or a meeting or in your personal devotions. God laid His hand upon you to do something. You've been wrestling with that call. You've been wrestling with maybe you're on the wall, but you've been hit with some things that have kind of brought discouragement to your heart. And you've been thinking about kind of climbing down off the wall and taking a little break. This morning the Holy Spirit's saying, don't get off the wall. Because God's doing a great work through you. And I want you, if you're in this place this morning and this message is touching your heart, I want you to begin to come right now and stand with me here. I don't want you to worry about anybody else's things. This is your day to receive strength, and the ministry team's coming. As you come, they're coming to take their places too. Men and women in this church, the Holy Spirit's calling. It's time for the Lord to strengthen you. It's time for the Lord to strengthen you. It's time for the Lord to raise you up. Put you back on the wall where you can do a work for Him. but you play it in a place where you can serve the Lord and not battle discouragement. Hallelujah. God's calling you. And now I want you to come as we sing this song. If you're a worker for the kingdom of God, you are a worker. God's laid his hand upon you. And you need this morning. You need to hear this word. I want you to come and be prayed for here this morning as we sing this song. You come on right now. Come on.
I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me, and nothing will shake me. He will never forsake me. I am determined to live for the King.
Thank you, Lord.
I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me. And nothing will shake me. He will never forsake me. For I am determined to live for the King. For I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me.
Thank you, Lord.
And nothing shall shake me. He will never
forsake me.
I am determined to live
The greatest thing that we can do in our lives is to make a decision to live for Jesus. To live for Christ. To make that the desire and the focus and the goal of every day that we live. To say to Jesus, today is the day for you to work in my life. Today is the day for you to use me, Lord. And friends, there can be a lot of things that can get us off track, can kind of cool the zeal of the Lord in our lives. We can go about being a Christian without the passion we need to have. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ into your heart. Today is the day that God wanted you here. You aren't here by an accident. If you're in wherever you are in this sanctuary, you are not here by accident. God's touching your heart because God wants to use you to minister to other people. And if you're here this morning and there's a need for you to make this moment a prayer of surrender, say, Jesus, this is serious. It's not just something to take or leave, but it is the one most important decision that any of us will ever make. It's an eternal decision to receive Christ into our lives. And I want to pray a prayer. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, would you pray with me that Christ may live within my heart, that I might be everything God wants me to be, because your life has a purpose in his kingdom. It's not just about you, it's about his purpose for you. And if you're here this morning and there's a desire in your heart to follow Jesus, to make that choice today, I want you to lift your hand right where you're standing. Please, this is so urgent. This is so important. This is so vital to you, who you are. You're on this earth because God wanted you here. And now he's calling you for you to let him be the Lord and Master. Is there someone here that will pray that prayer with me this morning? I pray it with you. Jesus, come into my heart. Come in this day. Come in today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've committed your life to Christ and you know that, right now I want you just to lift your hand and say, Jesus, I renew my dedication to you. Would you? Everybody across, I want you just to lift one of your hands and say, Jesus, I commit my life to you afresh today. I rededicate my life to your purpose. I rededicate my life to your cause. I won't waste my time. I won't waste my life, but I will invest it in the work of the kingdom as you guide me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, would you lift up your voice and let us praise the Lord before we leave here this morning. Hallelujah. We lift up our voices in our praise unto you, God. There's a great work we're called to do. And we're not coming down. We're not forsaking our place on the wall. We're not leaving that area of responsibility. But we are determined that we're going to finish the work God has called us to do this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I bless you this morning to be everything that God's call for you will lead you to be. I bless every one of you in this balcony this morning, wherever you're here, that you're going to feel the touch of the Master's hand. I bless you to know clearly how God wants to use you and where God wants to use you. And I bless you today to be a light in the darkness. And I bless you to win a great harvest of people to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I commission you this morning, don't leave the wall. Stay in your place of service until the work is finished and God is glorified. Amen and amen. You may come and pray around these altars as long as you want. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you at 6 o'clock tonight.
Nothing shall shake me, and nothing shall shake me.